Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America. I am Seth Merrow on this Sunday morning. Thanks for joining us. Do want to alert you of some of the promos coming up. You saw just before we went on the air, there is a Breeders' Cup reservation promo that'll get you as well a commemorative glass if you sign up and take advantage of reserving your seat for Breeders' Cup Saturday here at the Clubhouse Racebook. Come on down, make a reservation, or call up and make a reservation. And as I say, you will get a Breeders' Cup commemorative glass. Always a lot of fun down here at the Clubhouse Racebook. Good crowd, and it's fun on a big day like that to have a crowd and just have some fun and, you know, match your picks with the other folks and just enjoy the day with a nice crowd. And so, again, reserve your seat for Breeders' Cup Saturday here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Also, same location today. Come on down to the Racebook, and I have a bankroll this afternoon, $300 bankroll. If you come on down, put your name in the hat, we will randomly select the bankroll team this afternoon, and I'll play all afternoon with the bankroll. Probably looking at some Aqueduct, Belmont at Aqueduct and some Keeneland. Hopefully knock it out of the park, make a lot of money, but at the end of the day, whatever we've made gets split up by the bankroll team. The bankrolls are always a lot of fun, so we'd love to have you come down and join us this afternoon. 7-Eleven Central Avenue in Albany. Speaking of bankrolls, two huge bankrolls for Breeders' Cup Day, Breeders' Cup Saturday. Mike Rennie, who I had on with me, Mike and Mary from the Smoke and Mare Show, they were on with me up at Saratoga. Mike will have a $2,000 bankroll. I'll have a $2,000 bankroll on Breeders' Cup Saturday. We'll have separate teams. Mike's team will be from online. You can email starting tomorrow, I believe. Yeah, the signups will start on the 17th. So that starts tomorrow. Send an email to marketingmail@capitalotb.com with your name, account number, and put BC Bankroll in the subject line. And that's for the online team. I'll have a team down here. I'll be live that day here at the clubhouse. And if you come in, you can put your name in the hat and potentially get on the team here. But we'll each have a couple $1,000s to play on Breeders' Cup Saturday. It should be a lot of fun. So keep that in mind. Sign-ups starting tomorrow for the online version of that. All right. As usual, on a Sunday morning, we'll do some stakes recaps. I'll also do a little handicapping a little bit later on. Weekday stakes action is always a lot of fun. And coming up tomorrow, there is a nice stake at Finger Lakes, the New York Breeders Futurity. Two-year-olds racing for over $150,000. Nice field of eight in there. So I reached out to Tony Kahlo from the Finger Lakes, and towards the end of the program, the last segment, we'll have Tony on to just kind of preview tomorrow's New York Breeders Futurity. Just want to alert you to that, because as I say, weekday stakes action is a lot of fun, and when Finger Lakes tosses out big money like this, worth kind of touting and making folks aware of. So we'll take a closer look at tomorrow at the Finger Lakes later on with Tony. But for now, let's kind of go backwards a little bit and take a look. There was buzz on Twitter really all day long, because yesterday was just a crazy day. We showed all of it that I'm going to talk about here on the network, because we started the day British Champions Day. We had those races plugged in the morning. We were in here for the handicapper support, Anthony Mormino and I did Racing Across America. A couple of the races, few of the races were in the midst of that, and we went to those races. I had Dick Powell on yesterday kind of previewing the QE2. We had two QE2s, one over at Ascot and one at Keeneland yesterday. But we looked with Dick at the Ascot version and also the Champion Stakes yesterday and watched those here on the network. And then in the afternoon, we had Joe Clancy on in the morning, because Far Hills had their big jump day, which I just, you know, I've seen some pictures and I saw some video yesterday. And Joe laid it out. You know, they can get, they can estimate 40,000 there, tailgating. And Joe said the spots they have reserved for the tailgating get passed down in wills. And looking at the crowd yesterday, it looked like a fabulous crowd on a great day. And it was highlighted by the Grade 1 Grand National with, you know, eclipse implications, perhaps. Snap decision was in there. So we had that. And then also here on the network yesterday afternoon, we had Yonkers with the International Trot, $1 million, a mile and a quarter trot race that was won by a Scandinavian horse. And I said yesterday, we had fun. We were down at Yonkers. And I'm thinking 5 or 6 years ago, but as we all know, when we estimate time, it may have been longer than that, but it seems like 5 or 6 is probably about right for an afternoon down at Yonkers. Mick Richards and I went down, and we were tossing some cut-ins in during the afternoon live from Yonkers on an international day. And it's a fun day down there, and they had a nice day yesterday, not only with the international, some other stakes races as well. So jumps, the sulky side of things, and nice stakes races internationally and here as well with some Belmont and some Keeneland. So we'll look at some of that action from yesterday in review. And as I say, things were abuzz on Twitter with all of this action, but particularly the, you know, early in the morning, the Champion Stakes at Ascot on British Champions Day. Baid, the undefeated star, came into the race 10 for 10, and this was going to be his final race. And Baid is going to be the number two horse here and just doesn't seem to get it going in the stretch. Baid in the royal blue and the striped cap. You can see him sitting behind the top flight there. And the announcer said, oh, is he going to find some room? And then he gets here, and you can see now it's open sailing, and he just cannot get going. And you keep thinking, well, he's going to get in gear any second, go buy these, because he's Baid. But no, it winds up to be Bay Bridge getting it done with a nice effort. Adayar, who looked potentially to be an upsetter, runs second, and My Prospero third. Baid runs fourth. Very disappointing effort for the career finale for the otherwise undefeated runner. From follow-ups I read in some of the British press, the air came out of the place. The place kind of went dead silent. And we have seen those situations here in the United States too, where the crowd is not only expecting something, but rooting for something to happen, and it doesn't. And it's just the life goes out of the place. And that's the way they described it yesterday at Ascot. Subsequently, the connections, there was skepticism, you know, in some of the things I read, Twitter, but the connection said it just didn't like the ground. And the jock said, you know, never really could kind of get hold of the ground and get going. And as I say, there's some skepticism, you know, the ground is an excuse. You could see him there when he got out. There was just no acceleration. But as I say, it's Baid, and you kind of expected, well, in another two strides, he's going to get in gear and get going, and it just didn't happen. But Baybridge did get it done yesterday in a, you know, an upset performance over at Royal Ascot. Again, kind of kicked the day up. And there was a big upset also in the Everest in Australia the night before, and then somebody referred to Bulldog Hanover last week getting beaten on the sulky side, and somebody said, you know, Bulldog Hanover, and I can't think now of the Australian horse's name, but there was an upset there, and then Baid upset and said, does this bode badly for Flightline? And I'm not sure we can put those stars in line like that. And Flightline yesterday, I have a little article here, and I'll hit on it later. Nice workout for Flightline yesterday, you know, heading to the Breeders' Cup. I guess they're pretty happy with the way he's coming into it. Again, given the workout yesterday, and I'll touch on that in a little bit. All right, as I said, also yesterday, we showed it here on the network, and one of the highlights of the jump season, the races down at Far Hills, and I said I've got to get down there. And I noted, and I will reiterate, maybe mark it on your calendar for next year. I'm usually in here doing this, but if you have, you know, Saturdays off, I looked it up yesterday as I was sitting in here. 2.5 hours, pop down Far Hills, New Jersey, and it just sounds like a really fun afternoon down there, particularly if you get something similar. You could tell on the picture. Joe Clancy, when we had him in the morning, said, gorgeous day here, and just watching via the simulcast, it looked like an absolutely gorgeous day. And so you get one of those days, and, you know, you wind up with a nice fall afternoon like that, and some nice horse racing and a big crowd and a lot of fun. Seems like the 2.5 hours is well worth the trip. So again, mark it on your calendar maybe for next year down at Far Hills. But yesterday, again, they had a nice card all around with some flat racing as well, but the Grand National was the highlight. $250,000 up for grabs, 2 5/8 miles. And all eyes were on Snap Decision. The, you know, very talented runner who had won the Iroquois earlier in the year and had won the Jonathan Shepherd right up here in our backyard, was upset in the Lonesome Glory in his most recent start, upset by Noah and the Ark. That one's going to wind up second, but you can see winning here, it's Hewick, the Ireland Invader. Noah and the Ark runs second, and a pretty good second, but Snap Decision, very disappointing in here, running... just looking at the chart, runs sixth in the field of nine as the 6-5 favorite. So Snap Decision disappoints a little bit in his last couple of starts. Now, with the grade one victory in the Shepherd, the grade one victory in the Iroquois, maybe it's enough for him to get that Eclipse Award, because I don't think Hewick, with the victory here, is going to get enough support. I would think Snap Decision probably has enough to get the Eclipse, but it, again, with the ending the season the way he did with the two little bit disappointing finishes, maybe puts that into question. I'm just not sure which other direction folks would go. But getting back to Hewick, we talked a little bit about this horse with Joe Clancy yesterday, and Joe said, if you went down the PPs, there was a race back in March, and Joe said, do note that maybe he broke the database as they printed up the PPs, because on the PPs, it's showing his Hewick, the winner's March race, was 2.25 miles, and Joe said, no, that was 4.25 miles. And subsequently, as he was talking, I looked and laughed with Joe and said, you kind of get that feeling. You realize the distance is wrong, because the time of the race, 9 minutes, not off. Look down at the PPs and see a 9-minute race. I said you could have gone out to the concession stand, stood in line, got your burger, and made it back to your seat before the race came under the finish line. But Hewick, obviously long-winded. He was most recently over in Ireland in a 3-mile race, so cuts back fairly significantly. Cuts back 3 furlongs. From the 3 miles to the 2 5/8 yesterday, and looked pretty good. Won pretty easily. The chart margin was 11.5 back to Noah and the Ark. And again, Noah and the Ark, who upset the Lonesome Glory in his previous start, in just a wild situation. If you weren't paying attention there, the Lonesome Glory Snap Decision went off as the 30-cent to the dollar favorite, and that was the jumpers moving down from Saratoga down to Belmont at Aqueduct, the Lonesome Glory, another grade one event. So Snap Decision goes off as the big favorite. But Snap Decision in that race, the last race, the Lonesome Glory at Belmont at the Big A, carried 168. Noah and the Ark had come off a layoff from May of 2021 to that race back in September this year. So a year and a half on the sidelines. But whereas Snap Decision was carrying 168, Noah and the Ark was in with 140. It was a 28-pound break for Noah and the Ark. And off the big layoff, gets it done in a grade one. Kind of an incredible performance in the Lonesome Glory. And validated that a little bit yesterday, running second. Now, while beaten second, but he was 11.5 behind the winner. But Noah and the Ark was 4.5 in front of the third place finisher. So nice performance by him. But as I say, very disappointing on the flip side of that with snap decision, unfortunately, tossing in a little bit of a clunker yesterday. All right, let's take a look at some of the other action from yesterday, and let's kick it off by taking a look back at Belmont. I obviously was in yesterday doing OTB Live, so I looked at this race. Pizza Bianca eventually went off, yeah, as the favorite. Andy Serling commented on the pregame show and whatnot that, you know, bad favorite given what we've seen. Pizza Bianca didn't seem to have progressed from 2 to 3. Had won a race earlier this year, stakes race at Pimlico, but had to go down to Pimlico to do that. I mean, this is the horse that won the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly Turf last year. So, you know, the ungraded stake at Pimlico. And then what goes over to a Royal Ascot and winds up 8th there, off since that race. So I was kind of agreeing that this was not going to be my top pick. I went with Vergara, had Eminent Victor in the second spot, and then Pizza Bianca, and then Skims in the fourth spot for Shug, coming out of a close-up second in a Kentucky Downs stake. But it does wind up to be Skims. At a decent little price, you got $11.20 on the Shug horse. John Velasquez on board. My top pick, Vergara, is right there and trying, just can't get the momentum to really make a challenge late. So it's Skims, Vergara, and then number 3, Eminent Victor. Again, it was three of the horses I had in my mix. Pizza Bianca winds up 4th. So they're the 4 horses, actually, I had in my mix, just in a flip-flop kind of an order, with Skims getting it done in there. Vergara, as I say, put in a nice run, just couldn't get the momentum going to get past Skims late. And Pizza Bianca, you know, Pizza Bianca is still very talented. I'm going to be interested to see where they go from here. Because, again, hadn't raced since that trip over to Royal Ascot. So pretty much sat the entire summer on the sidelines. Fairly long layoff. 4th place finish, you know, by 2.25, just about 3 lengths. So not embarrassed by the performance yesterday, and again, it was off a layoff, so maybe gets a little fitness. As I say, I'll be interested to see what the game plan is moving forward for Pizza Bianca and see if she can kind of rebound off of that one yesterday and get into the winner's circle again. It's hard to judge her season so far because she did win a stake but had to go down to Pimlico and go ungraded. And then they just got ambitious and tried the Royal Ascot and went to the sidelines after that. So, again, going to be interested to see what the game plan is going forward with her. Over at Keeneland, again, the second of 2 QE2s on the day, one over at Ascot and one at Keeneland. I like McCulloch coming out of the 3-year-old Phillies Turf Series in New York. You know, they had the race down at Belmont and the race at Saratoga and then the race Belmont at Aqueduct for not only the boys, but they also had the Phillies version. And McCulloch had a couple of wins, bookending a second-place finish in that series. So I thought she'd kind of established herself as a superior member of this, you know, group of 3-year-old fillies on the turf. So I went in her direction, but I said Gina Romantica is the other Chad Brown horse, the Chad Peter Brandt horse, and Gina Romantica looked very good in the stretch here getting it done. Gina Romantica is the number 2 horse, McCulloch the number 6, and McCulloch gets going, but you see that Gina Romantica just got the jump and got her momentum going a little bit earlier. Gina Romantica is going to get up. For a while, it looked like she was only going to get 3rd, but right at the wire gets her head up. So it's a Chad Brown exacta in there. And you got a decent price on, you know, the quote-unquote other Chad Brown. McCulloch went off at 4 to 5, but you got $11 and change for Gina Romantica. And you got $19 on the Chad Brown exacta, the Chad Zacta in there. Flavian Pratt was on board, the winner. Irad Ortiz on board, Mikulic, and Bella Bell ran third in there. But as I say, Gina Romantica just kind of got the jump. Fairly lightly raced three-year-old filly for Chad Brown and Peter Brandt. They had purchased the horse at Keeneland in September of 2020 for over $1 million. So she puts a grade one on the resume in career start number seven for Chad Brown. And I think I read his fourth QE2, Chad Brown. Let's jump in. And there were also a couple of stakes on Friday I thought we would take a look at as well. One at Belmont at the Big A and one at Keeneland also. And Belmont at the Big A, it was an off-the-turfer. So, you know, lost some of his excitement, but did want to show this because it's the Glen Cove. And, again, they moved to the main track, and it is going to be Half is Enough. And, again, wanted to show this. It's Mike Trombetta trainee, but Trevor McCarthy on board. And so fun to see him get a victory. You know, he came to New York, and struggling is putting it too strongly, but it's just tough to kind of break in and make the connections and get the victories, much less stakes victories. And he kind of said as much in the winner's circle. There was a nice interview with him afterwards. I think Maggie Wolfendale was conducting, but he was holding his daughter, very cute. Of course, he's married to one of the Davis family. And, you know, as I say, he was saying as much. But I wanted to show this because, again, Trevor McCarthy getting a little stakes victory in New York. It was in the off-the-turfer, but Half is Enough was a horse who had a lot of dirt form, so wasn't a surprise. I had the horse in the mix on the surface switch move. But, again, I wanted to show this because it is Trevor McCarthy. And he's going to be interesting to watch going forward in New York because I think he fits, certainly. And as I say, it just kind of takes a while to work your way in sometimes and find the connections that start to make sense and start to become productive. But it was a nice little stakes victory for Trevor on Friday down at Belmont at the Big A in the off-the-turfer. And finally, we'll take a look at one that was on the turf. We go to Keeneland on Friday. It's the Sycamore Grade 3 event, mile and a half. On the grass. I liked Mira Mission in here. Mira Mission is going to be the number seven horse. A little bit disappointing running sixth, but right underneath I had Highland Chief. Highland Chief, as I say, I had this one right underneath in the second spot. Went off at a decent price. You got $15 and change. John Velasquez again, and Highland Chief, as you can see, it looked for a moment like the crowd was going to, overwhelm that one, but Highland Chief said no and kind of kept the margin steady through that last 16th or maybe even 8th of a mile. And again, you got $15 and change there. Temple second, highest honors third, but Highland Chief, it's Graham Motion, it's John Velasquez, last seen running fourth in the Bowling Green up at Saratoga. Three starts back prior to this had won the Man of War at Belmont. So it's a horse that had some talent, started the career over in Europe. Highland Chief getting it done in the Sycamore. And the follow-up articles I read said they are considering moving on to the Breeders' Cup turf out of this. We'll see what the decision is. But looked pretty good on Friday getting it done down at Keeneland in the Grade 3 event. All right. That takes you through a little bit of the action from the past couple of days, internationally, over the jumps, and more. We'll take a break. When we come back, I'll do a little handicapping for this afternoon, give some ideas, hopefully some good ideas. But a little bit later on, again, we have a nice little midweek or a weekday stakes race tomorrow at Finger Lakes. So we'll reach out to Tony Kahlo and get some thoughts on that in a little bit. First, though, some handicapping. So we'll take a break. We'll come back, give out some ideas for Sunday afternoon right after this. Stay tuned.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku.
The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. I'm Seth Merrill. Thanks for joining us. Going to take a look at the late pick five at Keeneland. Not putting a ticket together necessarily because, again, I was thinking we wouldn't have scratches, but during the break, just before we came back from the break, scratches are up. But, again, I'm just seeing the scratches, so I'm not formulating a ticket, but I'll go through the sequence and kind of toss out the scratches to take a look at as well in that late pick five at Keeneland this afternoon. And it starts with the fifth race today. Allowance non-winners of one other than types going 5.5. And I'm just trying to pull up the track conditions. And it looks like they haven't changed the track conditions from yesterday, which were fast and firm. I would expect the same, but keep your eyes on that. I mean, the scratches aren't indicating any kind of weather. You know, normally if there's weather or whatnot, you may see much more. These are just kind of the logicals, the AEs and whatnot. Although I did lose one of mine in this fifth race. Fifth allowance non-winners and one other than 5.5 on the grass. 2, 6, and 8. I had the 4 in my mix in this fifth race at Keeneland. Scratched the 4, the 14, 15, and 16. So again, I originally had the 4 a little down in my mix. I'm now 12, 6, and 8. Fifth race at Keeneland. I'll take a little shot with 6-1 morning line Will to Run. Corrales on board. And again, if you're not familiar with him, good rider down there in that Kentucky region. He was the leading rider at Ellis. Limited rides at Keeneland so far, but doing pretty well with what he has. And he was on board this one at Ellis for the career debut win. Leaves from the outside post position, so has a little bit of an attack advantage, perhaps leaving from there and off the debut victory by Twirling Candy, so lived up to the win early breeding. I wouldn't be shocked to see this horse string a couple together, and I think we may get some value. Coffee Maker in the second spot. Hasn't been seen since last year for Wesley Ward, and this is a Wesley Ward turf sprinter. So right there, you know, enough said, kind of, and they have had some ambitions for this one. Debuted on the dirt in April of last year at Keeneland and won pretty easily. From that, they went over to Royal Ascot and tried a group two, ran eighth in a field of 17. Then they came back and tried a two-year-old stake at Kentucky Downs, ran third, tried a stake here at Keeneland on the turf and ran second, and then the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint and ran third in there. So the horse has shown some talent. I would expect this horse to take a lot of action, Wesley Ward. And again, having shown this talent, now moving back to the more proper non-winners of one. I just, a little bit off the layoff, I was willing to, you know, have the horse right underneath, but I was willing to take a shot with another, you know, in another direction on top. Badge Ball in the third spot, four starts so far, for Greg Foley. They've all been on the dirt. I thought the horse might be a little bit intriguing. 20-1 on the morning line. In some fashion, I'll play around with this horse in the afternoon because, as I say, they're experimenting a little bit here on the turf, and I wouldn't be shocked if this horse showed something. You know, the maiden breaker on the dirt back in June was the seasonal debut off a layoff. Then they bounced into this company last time. I always say it, sometimes it takes a start or two to figure the next level up, and then you change it up a little bit, and maybe you get that improvement and the change up as well. Badge Ball seems interesting in here. So for me, in the fifth at Keeneland, 12, 6, and 8. Race number 6 at Keeneland. We are at this point taking out the AEs, 13 and 14. That doesn't affect me. Sixth race at Keeneland. Two-year-old fillies going about 7 furlongs, maiden specials. I have it 5, 1, 7, and 10. I thought the 11 was playable as well. Mike Maker has Roman Goddess, the 11. 15-1 on the morning line. If you get a price and it's flirting with getting in my mix, I at least like to toss it out there. Price or not, if one kind of, I could have put this one and I didn't, because if somebody else is out there handicapping, I want to acknowledge, I will not argue if you're using number 11 in here. But again, for me, 5, 1, 7, and 10. Positano Sunset off a career debut that I thought was promising for Ian Wilkes. Over at Churchill, middle of September, showed some early speed, then faded a little bit. That seems like the kind of race you can move forward from. By Golden Sense, there's some win early breeding there. And so with the one under the belt, experience counts. Positano Sunset on top. Second slot, we'll go with Penny Arcade. First-time starter from Brad Cox. Again, there's a little bit of breeding here, perhaps. It's Brad Cox with Gary and Mary West. So there are certainly potent connections, and you're getting a price on this one. With these connections, the price becomes kind of attractive. We'll see if the price holds up. Ghostly Girl in the third spot. Just missed in debut for Ken McBee. Given that, horse has to be considered in here, certainly. And I'm just looking at morning line favorite. I mean, I'll be interested to see how the odds shake out in this race. Moral Turpitude also gets a look for me from Mark Cassidy. Just seems like working fairly steadily and decently for the career debut, and you're getting a price there. So a few of these, I think, have the potential to be interesting. It's a fun race. There's a Pletcher runner in here that I left out that I may regret leaving out, Julia Shining, but I think it's a fun event in the sixth at Keeneland. 5, 1, 7, and 10. Race number 7 at Keeneland. And once again, we are losing, I believe, only the AEs. Yeah, 13, 14, and 15. They are the AEs. They're out of this seventh at this stage. This is stakes action in the seventh, the grade 3 Franklin. Phillies and mares going 5.5 on the grass. I'm 6, 11, 8, and 10. I put Twilight Gleaming on top. Goes out 4, Wesley Ward. Wesley Ward and Stone Street. Turf sprinter for Wesley Ward. Another one that has shown plenty of talent, as evidenced by the 8 exacta finishes and 8 starts record. Over $750,000 in the bank in 8 starts, 5 wins and 3 seconds. Comes out of a late July stakes race at Del Mar that the horse won. So a little bit of a layoff. The workouts aren't really indicating anything other than the horse has been working. I mean, they aren't blazing or that don't jump off the page necessarily, but the horse has been working. John Velasquez will hop on board this afternoon. But again, it's Wesley Ward, a talented stakes quality, stakes winning, turf sprinting filly. Makes sense. I'll put that one on top. Second slot, Brooke Marie going out for Eddie Canale. Two starts back at Ellis. Ran second, followed that up with the fourth place finish at Kentucky Downs. Number-wise, they were similar. And Kentucky Downs is just a little bit quirky. Finished behind Campanelle that day at Kentucky Downs. I don't think you know, there's any shame in that race, despite it being a fourth place finish. I think this horse, if you look down the page and look at the numbers and everything, I think the horse is pretty consistent. It's the type of race she will fire. 10 times in the exacta in 18 starts, and I think is going to be a solid fit with this group this afternoon. Luis Saez on board. And then in the third spot, going to go to the number 8, Bout Time. Fairly lightly raced. 4-year-old with only 6 career starts. 3 of those have been wins. Tossed in a little bit of a clunker last time up at Saratoga. Cherie DeVoe, trainee, though, had won a stakes race at Monmouth in the prior start and won a nice little allowance at Churchill prior to that. So I think the races 2 and 3 back are definitely good enough. And given that, I'm going to kind of draw a line through the race up at Saratoga and look at that as a little more of an aberration and see if we can get back to what we were showing beforehand. And if we do, I think this horse, again, is going to fit with this group in here this afternoon. Change of control, also a little bit interesting for Michelle Lovell. Tried the Presque Isle Masters last time. That was on the synthetic. I think this horse will very much appreciate the return to turf. And given the races this horse typically fires, this horse may, I may regret having this horse down in the fourth spot. I think this horse is very, very playable, albeit in a very competitive race. I think you can kind of point in a number of different directions beyond the ones I've looked at. But in the seventh at Keeneland for me, 6, 11, 8, and 10. Race number 8 today, optional claimer, non-winners and 2 other than about 7 furlongs. There are no scratches at this point in here. Hidden Scroll, if you don't remember this one, this is a horse that kind of started the career brilliantly and was one of those that, oh, this is going to be a very special horse, and then never quite lived up to it. Would occasionally maybe rebound to something like that. But this horse debuted January of 2019 down at Gulfstream with a 104 buyer win. And so, again, there was all kinds of this is going to be a special one. And as I say, just kind of hasn't lived up to it. 4 wins in 14 starts. And, you know, the last few have not been stellar particularly. So I'm not using this one. I'm just mentioning it because, again, there was at the beginning of the career, you may look at this and in the back of your mind, Hidden Scroll. And yes, there was some buzz. But I'm in this 8th race at Keeneland, 3, 7, 8, and 5. Run Classic on top. Brett Calhoun runner, 2 for 4 with a second place finish so far. So lightly raced. But not only that, most of the starts were early 2021. Came back towards the end of September. The comeback effort was perhaps the best of the career, so certainly didn't suffer from sitting on the sidelines and, in fact, perhaps improved a little bit. We'll find out. But Run Classic, that 6-1 morning line holds up. This horse is interesting. Uber Kirk, nice win last time at Churchill. Tends to prefer the follow-up positions, though. The career so far, 30 starts, 4 wins, but 6 seconds and 7 thirds. So again, kind of likes the bridal party a little more than being the bride, but does have the win last time, so is in very good form right now and has the potential to string a couple together. AC Expressway, also in the mix for me, tossed in a clunker last time going in some stakes competition. But the races late spring, early summer, just before that, were very good. I'm hoping we get back to those, and I think that's very possible. Maybe just overmatched last time. The last race just has the look of an aberration. Fourth spot, we'll use Briefcase Bully. Cherie DeVoe, trainee, I think has the potential to show a little life in the stretch and maybe get up there and make a little bit of noise. But for me, in the 8th at Keeneland, 3, 7, 8, and 5. Finale at Keeneland today, and I had a couple on the AE list in my, and we lost those. So the AEs are gone, 13, 14, 15, and 16. I like the 13 and the 15 if they got in. But now I'm 2, 4, and 9 in the 9th at Keeneland. Botanical on top, Brad Cox trainee. 15 to 1 on the morning line. and didn't really take action in the debut. It was 13-1 there, but did have a little bit of trouble. With that experience under the belt, I think this horse could be interesting at a price. From, you know, Potent Connections, Brad Cox, L&J, Foxwoods and Company. So we'll put Botanical on top. Juniper Marshmallow in the second spot. Pletcher debut runner at 10-1 with Luis Saez on board. A little bit of breeding here that is interesting. And then Words of Praise, second time starter from Mike Maker. His horses tend to do well in the second start. The debut was one of those rich maiden specials over at Kentucky Downs and ran an okay third. So I wouldn't be surprised to see this horse benefit from that one and move forward. In the ninth and final at Keeneland, 2, 4, and 7. All right, that gives you some ideas of Keeneland for Sunday afternoon, a late pick five. And again, if you're interested, scratches are up. So keep that in mind. We will take a break, however, as promised earlier. The nice New York Breeders' Stake, New York Breeders' Futurity Stakes race tomorrow at Finger Lakes. So we'll reach out to Tony Kahlo, get some of his thoughts on the stakes action and more at Finger Lakes for tomorrow's Monday afternoon. All of that right after this. Stay tuned.
Doesn't get any better than this, Tom. They're all in line, ready for the start.
And they're off!
American Pharoah comes into his final furlong. Breeders' Cup winner, a horse of a lifetime!
This is unbelievable!
It's one of the most sensational ever.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Bridgestone is an outside threat. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
In front, but here comes High Chaparral. High Chaparral, the defending champ, to take it to Papa. These two are travels head-to-head with Joe Hart bearing down on them. It's going to be a three-horse photo finish to the turn. Here's the wire. Photo finish.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. As promised before the break, we're going to have a little conversation. Always fun when there's a weekday stakes race and $150,000 plus up for grabs tomorrow, Monday, at the Finger Lakes in the New York Breeders' Futurity. So who better to reach out to than our friend Tony Kahlo, the man in the booth up at the Finger Lakes. Tony, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, happy to have you on, particularly to talk about, this is a nice little race, a field of eight scheduled in here. And while we talked, I pulled up replays from a couple of races. Going to take a look at the funny side up at Saratoga, and we're going to see Andiamo a Firenze, the sibling to Firenze Fire, get it done. Subsequently, that one tried the champagne against Open Company and ran fourth, but in this race against the New York Breds, looked pretty good up at Saratoga. And then I also called up the replay. We had you on to talk about that stakes race back on September 26th. And, you know, we were talking about Acoustic Avenue for Christoph Clement. That one is going to get it done pretty easily at 5 cents to the dollar on the odds. They look very, very tough tomorrow, but it's a fun field. You have Jose Ortiz coming in for a ride scheduled and Jose Lascano as well. It looks like a fun Monday afternoon schedule up at the Finger Lakes. What are your thoughts on the Breeders' Futurity?
Yeah, it's gonna looks like a pretty good race on paper. You know, a lot of times with the Futurity, we get a small field and an overwhelming favorite. And Andiamo a Firenze I assume, is going to be the short price favorite. Yeah. But Acoustic Ave, you know, he's got the run over the course, winning the Aspirant. He's going to try to turn the tables on the Amoa Firenze. So it's shaping up to be one cool race. We've got the filly along the rail, Stonewall Star. I haven't watched her replays yet, but on paper she looks very talented. And we've got some nice little local horses that, you know, it'll be hard for them to probably step up and win the top prize, but if they could give a good account of themselves, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, and you get a piece of $158,000. That's a nice afternoon. But as you say, the filly on the rail, that's the Jose Ortiz. He'll come in and hop on board for Horacio De Paz. And you would have to think Acoustic Avenue benefits a little bit from the run over the track. And, you know, Adiamo Afrense with the fourth in the Champagne. Maybe you can make an argument there that he now comes in off a loss. I'm going to be interested to see how the odds shake out in here. I think he probably does, coming out of the Open Company Champagne, get the support from the betting public. But we just watched it. That was a nice win up there for Acoustic Avenue.
Yeah, he looked sensational. He, you know, he really ran big. He was pressed early by Golden Them Hills and discouraged that runner, put him away, and opened up. Didn't give anybody any hope. Once they turned for home, this little guy really ran a big race. You know, the one thing that I'm looking at for him that's pretty intriguing is Andiamo Firenze. He hasn't won on a fast racetrack. Now I know it was a Grade 3 Open Sanford at Saratoga, but he's going to have to show that. And sometimes you get these horses that like to splash and win comfortably on a sealed racetrack. At least Acoustic Ave has won on a fast racetrack. One of his better scores, what he won by 7.25 graduating.
Yeah, that's interesting. As you mentioned that, him looking, that is a little bit interesting. And so that adds another little wrinkle to the puzzle. I'll mention another horse, and I should mention Acoustic Avenue. Manny Franco is going to be upstate for the ride there. But I'll also toss out Charlie Baker. Brings in a debut runner, potentially. I like that he's rolling the dice a little bit.
Yeah, that's pretty intriguing. You know, I have the utmost respect for Charlie. He does a great job. And Francis Paul Angeli, he's been a big supporter at Finger Lakes ever since I arrived here in 08. This looks like a pretty salty spot for him, though, to debut. I wonder if he will make it to the race.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if he might scratch when they look at it and go, ooh, wow, this race came up a little saltier than I thought. You know, another thing about Firenze, boy, I sure hope I can say his name better tomorrow than I am right now. Andiamo Firenze. Let's go to Florence. Apparently, that's what it means.
Oh,
Seth.
Okay.
I Googled it. I was wondering. Let's go to Florence. So, you know, his maiden victory was 5.5 furlongs, and he wins 6.5. So, you know, he looks like he should get a beautiful trip. You figure Acoustic Ave is probably going to the front along the inside. Will Golden Them Hills soften him up enough so Andiamo Firenze can come and get him, stalking smartly from his outside? Will the filly show lots of speed? Going to be very intriguing. Going to be intriguing how the race develops, but looking forward to it. Like I said, in years past, we usually have one standout. And to have two really, really nice two-year-olds, I'm hoping we get a pretty good thrill in the stretch. Hope we get a good stretch showdown for the big race.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a nice field. As you say, there's the two that obviously stand out, but the filly being lightly raced and that they elect to come here, that one's interesting, and Jose Ortiz potentially in for the ride. And then on the outside, the two locals who ran second and third in the Aspirant, I think are kind of fun as well. And if the debut runner shows up for Charlie Baker, that adds some intrigue. It's fun. As I say, a weekday stakes race, a lot of fun. So I wanted to tout that a little bit.
But I'll throw in another horse too, Seth. The two horse Mashindi. Go watch this horse's replay. This was a good run. I know the final time's not that impressive, but they went slow, 23-1, 47-4, and this horse made a 5.5 length. Never easy to close into a soft, soft pace. This horse was impressive in his debut. Now, this is a much, much difficult assignment, but I like what I saw from that guy. But he is coming back quick, and this is a salty spot, as mentioned.
Jackie Davis on board. So we had her on with us up at Saratoga. I always like to root for her. And speaking of that, I was going down the Finger Lakes Twitter feed yesterday, the day before. Tammy Piermarini had a victory the other day, and they put up her career victory total. And, man, you talk about a nice career, and it's kind of fun to see her up there at Finger Lakes as well.
The New England Hall of Famer, yeah. Tammy Piermarini. She's been doing it for quite some time. She was winning races when I was calling it Bay Meadows. That's how old both of us are.
Yeah, it was when I looked at the career total, I thought, good for her. We talked a little bit.
She had an $84 winner the other day too, Majestic Sky. I picked the horse last time he raced, and I didn't have the guts to come back with him again. He was the last horse I talked about leading up to the gate. And when he crossed the wire at $84, I'm like, come on. I had so many horses win on my stable mail this week. I had so many horses last week at Finger Lakes that I've been supporting all season. And I jumped off everybody, and then I go into a slump. Look at me. What a knucklehead.
We have all been there. We can all relate to that. Yeah, the Seth off is an angle as well, believe me. We were talking a little bit during the break, and you had a couple of other ideas for tomorrow if people are kind of playing along and playing some of the pick bets or whatever. And we'll start out in race number 3 on Monday afternoon. Maiden Special 2-year-olds going a mile and 40. What did you see in the third tomorrow?
Well, there's a couple horses in there that I'm pretty fond of. No value whatsoever. 8 Allure of Money showed a very good debut run. Actually looked like he was going to win opening up, and I thought he was going to hit the lead and open up, and it just never happened. He was a little green. He kind of was lugging in a little bit. They're going to stretch him out of a Shackleford mare. I liked what I saw from him, especially considering his trainer, Michael S. Ferraro. He's excellent on stretch outs, and of course usually has plenty of foundation for debuting. Now gets to make his second career start. I thought Hutch also is a good runner. In fact, here we go again with my angle. I picked Hutch last time, so he'll probably run big. Those two I would key on to start our pick 6. Like I said, not a lot of value, but both of them look very, very solid.
Yeah, if you can make stuff work in the pick, that gets you potentially a little bit of value. Race number 4, this is something you don't see too often, particularly at a lower level. $5,000 non-winners of 4 lifetime types, and they'll go 3/4 of a mile. Your thoughts on the 4th?
Well, we have to do our conditions here at Finger Lakes. We have a lot of conditions. A lot of credit to our racing secretary Jerry Richards. He's come in. He's utilized the B. This is just a straight N4L, but he has written many conditions. Non-winners of a race in 2 months. Non-winners of a race in 6 months. Non-winners of 4 races. Whatever he can come up with to get him going, he does. I thought Syncope looked incredible winning. If you go watch this horse's last run, I encourage fans to go watch the replay. It was a good victory. The Damn Mrs. Rabbit was a nice one. She's thrown some good runners. It's taken Syncope quite a bit of time to come into himself. The blinkers have been off. He's never been racing with LASIK. His last victory, boy, he was all dressed up in Sunday's best, and once he found room, he exploded and made quite an impression on me. I actually thought they might try to step him up, but they're going for the W. They're going for the money run, no question about it. Syncope looked really good winning. I would have to give him a big thumbs up tomorrow.
You know, as you were talking about the conditions, was it you guys? Was it Finger Lakes? When I'm in doing the handicapping show in the afternoons, and on Wednesdays I'm looking at some Finger Lakes. Was it last Wednesday? Was it you guys that had the condition, which I kind of liked? It was for trainers that hadn't won more than 1 or 2 races at the meet.
It's been a condition here at Finger Lakes. It's a Finger Lakes tradition. I've never seen it before anywhere until I got here. And they do this once we get to October.
Yeah.
Sometimes in September. In years past, it was trainers that had not won a race at time of entry. This year, they bumped it up to 2. So, hey, anything we can do to help the little guy, because it's a sport, it's so tough, and the little guy's getting run out of the business. It's hard to make a living. It's hard to compete against the bigger outfits with the better horses, you know, and with the jams, the way people claim horses in jam, it's a cool condition. And it's awesome for our smaller outfits, no question about it.
Yeah, like I say, I totally agree, and I wasn't sure whether it was you guys or not. I couldn't remember, but as I talked about the race that afternoon, I said it was a nice condition. It made for a kind of a fun competitive race, and as you say, it got somebody to the winner's circle and got them the winner's share, and I'm with you. I thought it was a fun condition. All right, also had some ideas.
We had a trainer, Victor Dean, the Marlboro man. He's got the greatest mustache you've ever seen in your life, and he ran 1-2 in the race. It was pretty cool.
Nice. Yeah, that's great.
And you have to respect a guy that's got the Colt 45 sign outside on his shed outside of his stable. I remember when he first hung that up there, I'm like, look at you, Colt 45, taking me back to my youth.
Very good. I like that. Now we'll have to watch for it. All right.
I gave him the great call. Victor D, let's crack open that Colt 45.
Oh, I remember that. I didn't get the reference, but great. I like that. Very good. I remember the call.
There's a method to my madness.
I was trying to put it all together. I'm looking at the breeding and whatnot. Very good. I like that. Very good. You also had some thoughts tomorrow in the fifth race. Maiden specials. These are three-year-olds and up. They'll go 8.5 furlongs. What did you see in the fifth?
Well, I'm going to say this right now, Seth. We need to give a big shout-out to John Buckley. I don't know if people are noticing, but John Buckley is having the best season he's ever had since I've been here at Finger Lakes. He is on the heels of tackling Chris Engelhart for our top trainer. Going into last week, he was like 4 wins behind. He has more starters than Chris. He was 4 wins behind. He had a big week again last week. What a Cinderella story it would be if John Buckley could win our training title. With the backing of Windy Leaf Farm and other outfits, he is doing an incredible job. And if you don't know, now you know, fans. John Buckley, hats off to you, brother. What a tremendous season. He's got the one, McLyrical. This horse made a nice debut run at Finger Lakes on the 13th of September. Had 3 races prior to that, but his initial run at Finger Lakes was very, very solid. He came from off the pace. They stretched him out, and he did everything but get to the wire in time. All he has to do is repeat that most recent race, and they're all playing second fiddle. He draws the rail. He's the horse to beat. I've been backing North Coast all season. Going to give him a strong endorsement. I would key the 1 and the 9 and looking at the 3 and 7 underneath. And after that, your guess is as good as mine. But I felt that we needed to give John Buckley a big, big shout out. What a great job he's doing.
I like that. I appreciate that. And I just pulled up as you were talking the current stats. And yeah, Chris Engelhart with 41 and Buckley with 36 and still racing days left. So I'm going to have to pay attention to that a little bit, the trainers battle there, because those are always kind of fun as they come down over the last few weeks and few days and whatnot, as they get close and easy to root for.
We don't really ever have, you know, the trading titles. Usually it's either, you know, it's Engelhart. It's been either Chris or Jeremiah. And so, you know, Dan Conway, the late, great Dan Conway, gave Chris everything he could handle a few years ago, and it seems like John's the one this year trying. But as far as the jockeys, Andre Worry and Luis Torres, going to come down to the finish. Luis is getting a little bit closer and closer. I think he's 12 or 13 behind. So pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff.
And we got, what, like another month left, right? A little more than a month.
Yeah, probably. we go until the day before Thanksgiving. So
nice.
There's still some time.
All right. Very good. Tony, as always, a lot of fun to have the conversation. And, again, I wanted to tout always fun when there's a nice big weekday stake, and particularly that nice little field tomorrow in that New York Breeders Futurity. So I wanted to tout that. Appreciate the conversation, and of course, we will talk again.
Seth, as always, and we appreciate everything you do for us here at Finger Lakes. You know, you give us a lot of love, and thank you very much.
Love the flakes. Tony Kahlo, you hear him up in the booth, and tomorrow, again, nice stakes action on the Monday card. I'm going to wrap it up for this edition. I did mention, though, I pulled up the article of the Flightline workout, and I just wanted to touch on that. Brad Free wrote about it. Flightline was out there yesterday morning at Santa Anita, and it was described as it was business as usual in virtual darkness. And a little further down in the article, they talk about here it is. The exercise rider wore a light on his helmet. that allowed Sadler, the owner, and other trackside observers to follow his progress. So he was out there in the dark working, but they were very happy with the workout yesterday from Flightline. There was a little mist in the air, I guess, a little bit of precipitation, but they were perfectly happy with it. Sadler, trainer John Sadler, said it's been a delightful routine. It's been a nice boring week, which is just what we want. He said, look at that rhythm as they looked at the workout. This is nice. So they were very happy with the Flightline workout yesterday. As the Breeders' Cup approaches, the Breeders' Cup Classic this year is going to be a lot of fun. Flightline and the two up-and-coming three-year-olds, Epicenter and Taba, and Life is Good. Really looking forward to it. And the Breeders' Cup always start to finish is intriguing. But that Classic that puts the exclamation point on the weekend, shaping up to be a lot of fun this week, this year. All right, I'm going to wrap it up as noted, but I will remind you once again, don't forget, you can reserve a Breeders' Cup seat. Give us a call or stop down at the Clubhouse Racebook and reserve your seat for Breeders' Cup Saturday. Should be a lot of fun. Expect, as usual, a big crowd down here, and it's a lot of fun. If you do reserve a seat, you get a commemorative glass. So reserve your seat today for the upcoming Breeders' Cup. Don't forget, starting tomorrow, you can put your name in the hat to potentially get on a Breeders' Cup bankroll team. We have two really big bankrolls. Mike Rennie will have one. I will have another one. We'll each have a couple $1,000. Mike's will be online entries. Starting tomorrow, you can send an email to marketingmail@capitalotb.com with your name, account number, and put BC Bankroll in the subject line. My bankroll team will be here live at the clubhouse on that Breeders' Cup Saturday. You'll be able to put your name in the hat that day to potentially get on the team. And we have a huge chunk of cash, a couple $1,000 to play on behalf of the bankroll team, each of us. So it should be a lot of fun. And then there's also, there's kind of a head-to-head battle too. Whichever team makes the most money, those players will each get an extra $25. So it should be fun. Should be a fun Saturday with the big bankroll. So keep in mind, the online version kicks off their signups tomorrow, Monday. Speaking of bankrolls, I will once again invite you to come down and join us here this afternoon at the Clubhouse Racebook. I will have a $300 bankroll. Not quite the $2,000, but $300 is enough to make a little damage and have some fun. So if you come down to the Racebook this afternoon, you put your name in the hat. We will select a team during the afternoon. I will play on behalf of them, probably concentrating a little bit Belmont at Aqueduct and Keeneland, and hopefully make a nice chunk of change for the bankroll team on this Sunday afternoon. Should be a lot of fun. You're invited to participate. Come on down, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. And don't forget, during the NFL season, we have all the games on the screens down here as well. So you can enjoy football and racing this afternoon at the Clubhouse Racebook and maybe get a little extra dough by landing on the bankroll team. That's all, again, this afternoon, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. All right, I'm going to wrap it up. I'm going to start studying so I can have some good thoughts for the bankroll team this afternoon. I'll be out in front probably starting around 12:30 or so, and then we'll kick off the bankroll team in and around that vicinity and go throughout the afternoon. So it should be a lot of fun. But since I'm out there, there will not be OTB Live this afternoon. I will be out in the front portion of the Clubhouse Racebook with the bankroll team. But it should be a lot of fun, as I say. Either way, whether you're here with us or if you're playing via your Capital OTB bet account and watching on the network, should be a fun afternoon, fun Sunday afternoon here playing the horses. All right, I'm going to wrap it up for the Sunday edition of Racing Across America. I always appreciate your tuning in. Have a lot of fun this afternoon. Again, we'd love to see you here at the Racebook. If you'd like to come, join us on this Sunday afternoon. Otherwise, good luck. We'll see you next time.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.